We are in a battle. You know, Ephesians chapter 6 says that we don't fight flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, wickedness in high places, rulers of darkness. And then in Ephesians chapter 1, Jesus told us that his name is above, that he is above all those things. And so we have a battle that is raging. And a lot of us think, man, this never happened before. What I want us to understand today is we are fighting the same ancient spirits that has fought every generation from the very beginning. It's nothing is new. It's all the same. I've been wondering where a lot of the things, the concepts, I've heard so many things said that have just, you know, it doesn't compute with me. I just shake my head. I think, where is this stuff coming from? And I begin to realize where it's coming from. It's coming from the same source it's always come from. And, you know, I've heard people say stuff like babies aren't human until they're born. You know, first it was the fetus up to so long, you know, isn't a human. And then it was, they're not human up to birth. And then it was, they're still not human after birth. We should be able to abort them even after they are born. And then I heard a lady say something the other day that my brain went on tilt. I thought, what are you doing? How did you get that? And she said a mother should be able to abort a child up to 2 years old. And I thought, where is this coming from? How could they even think of killing their child and thinking there's nothing wrong with it? So I began to pray and say, God, what is going on? Got my answer. It's nothing new. Matter of fact, there's only one thing that changed this, and we have grown up in the under the power of what changed it, and that's why we look at it and think we can't comprehend it, because we have come up under the answer. I want to read something to you that just kind of hard to wrap your mind around. Dehumanization. Everything about these ancient spirits. Now, you remember the word God gave me. He gave me names. Zimri and Dachau. And I had to look that up because I thought, what is Zimri and what is Dachau? But he said, hear me, Zimri, and hear my voice, you spirit of Dachau. And I had to look that up and study it. And I thought, and once I began to realize what he was talking about, I realized that this was absolutely applicable for our day. And Holy Spirit was telling us something very strong. But he gave me names, not because that's their ancient names. He gave me the names so that we could understand the characteristic. Okay? Zimri is not the ancient name of this demonic power. He gave me Zimri so we could understand the treasonous characteristic. That this spirit tries to take authority where it does not have authority. Okay? And then Dachau was one of the first concentration camp built by the Hitler regime. It became the training place of the SS. And it was first built to house all of the people that resisted Hitler. Now, we talk about Jews, but there was only a third of the people in Dachau that were Jews. The rest were German. They were those that rose up against Hitler that had different beliefs. They were communists. They were democratic socialists. They had different political views. And Hitler eliminated anybody that didn't agree with him. Does anybody hear something familiar? We got trial right now going on in January 6th, trials, and it's all about trying to eliminate anybody that would resist their treasonous authority. Okay? Now I realize a lot of people think you shouldn't say stuff like that. Truth is truth. Okay? Truth is truth. Amen. When we, you know, there's a guy that, for whatever reason, God has pushed forward. He is not a good man, but God has been pushing him forward. His name is Elon Musk. He's a billionaire. He's the richest man in America. And for whatever reason, God has put in his heart to become a thorn in the flesh of these people. You know, Jehu was not a good man, but he commanded Jezebel to be thrown down. You read about Jehu, he was not a good man, but God anointed him. Elon Musk has become a thorn in these people's flesh, and he actually posted a video from January 6th showing the police inside the Capitol meeting with the people that were coming in, had a meeting with them, and then ushered them into the Capitol. And it's like, you know, truth comes out. Amen. And Elon, he kind of feels like he's rich enough that he's got this under control. And so he has become a thorn in their flesh. I wouldn't vote for him, but he's become a thorn in their flesh, okay? So God's using people. This treasonous and murderous, when the American soldiers got to Dachau, to liberate it, it was the most traumatizing, more than Auschwitz, it was more traumatizing than any other place. Matter of fact, the soldiers were overwhelmed. The commanders were overwhelmed. They were so overwhelmed with what they saw. And this is the ploy of Dachau. It was built, and their mode of operation was to dehumanize people to where we could exterminate them without feeling like we were doing something wrong. You see, you understand why Holy Spirit gave us that name. We're seeing it today. In Rwanda, when there was an uprising, Hutus rose up against the Tutsis, and they were backed by France, and it was a terrible thing. But the president at that time had been pushing propaganda for years, calling the Tutsis cockroaches, dehumanizing them, and to the point that he had people so on his side and so demonized that they felt like exterminating these people was the answer, and they weren't human anyway. You see what's happening? You see the dehumanization that's taking place. Children are not human. Anybody that disagrees with us is not human. They're trying to establish that mindset against conservatives and Christians right now, and they're trying to convince the population of this country that Christians and conservatives are the problem, they're really not human, and exterminating them would be no problem. That would bring around. I got to tell you something, they're not going to exterminate us. We're going to rise. Amen. When Jesus is ready, we're going to, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, but I want to read this. This is hard to listen to, but it's it helped you understand the ancient demon spirits that we're dealing with is nothing new. Brothels were commonplace within antiquity and were often placed between houses of respect in Roman families. Far from being perceived as taboo, brothels were one of the most common gathering places for Roman men. It was seen as antisocial for men not to engage in activities with prostitutes. There are two ways archaeologists know whether a building discovered is a brothel or not. The first is by signage with names and prices on the one side, and occupata or occupied in Latin on the reverse, or obvious inscriptions. I can't pronounce the names. Any other words means prostitute, which marked out the purpose of the location. The other way is the discovery of mass graves of children. In Roman antiquity, children were not considered real people until they were at least 2 years old. Fathers were legally allowed to kill their children without legal repercussions. Up to 2 years old, a father could kill his children and nobody thought anything of it. They were just eliminated. The Spartans, who Hollywood has tried to glorify, were animals. They were literally animals. They treated their children like animals. If a child lived up to a certain age, if they lived, when a child was born, if the father felt like the child didn't live up to his standards, there was a cliff by Sparta that he would take and throw the baby off the cliff and it would fall to its death. And so there was piles and piles of remains at the bottom of this cliff. If the child lived to a certain age, then they were put in packs like dogs. They didn't live with their family at home. They were put in packs. They were taught to rob. They were taught to hunt people down. They were taught to turn on each other. They were taught that homosexual activity was the norm. They were animals. They dehumanized everything. We are living in a time where Rome is trying to reestablish itself in a place called the United States of America. But these are not just political views. These are ancient demonic powers that feed on the blood of children and require child sacrifice. This is not a political view. That's why people become so enraged. I was watching videos the other day. This one guy had video after video after video of women responding online on their blogs to Roe versus Wade being overturned, and they were screaming like they were insane. Literally standing there screaming to the top of their voice, turning red and having these demonic fits because they couldn't kill their children. This is not a political view. Homosexuality is not a political view. It is a demonic power that has been around since the beginning of time. It is an ancient spirit. It is for the purpose of destroying value, relationship, and dehumanizing people. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, you get in trouble preaching things like that. I've been to the grave and back many times. Come on. I've been there, and God raised me up time after time. In my 20s, I got blown off a power pole. They come up and got me, tried to get me, rescue me. I was stuck about halfway down. I had no pulse. I was not breathing. They started trying to get me down without a bucket truck, and they dropped me from about 50 feet up. I hit the ground, and all of a sudden I started coming around, and I got back up on my feet, and I was at church that night. Amen. I didn't know I was at church, but I was. I just happened to be working in Branson, one of the few times that we had contracts in Branson. And I was getting to work at home. And I come walking in the church. Betty said she looked over at me and thought, what in the world? I come walking in, still had dirt all over me, creosote. My hair was sticking up like this from having my hard hat on. I come in and just sit down beside her and just sit there staring. I didn't know who I was for a while. I kept having these blackouts. I wouldn't know where I was, wouldn't know who I was, and then God brought me out of that. Amen. But time after time, I've seen this stuff. Time after time, I've experienced this stuff. I don't know why. I wish I could say that I never had any problems. I've had people, when times that things have happened to me, I've had people come to me and say, you need to figure out what's wrong because stuff like that never happens to me. I never get sick. I never have this. Why, it never, I go on mission trips and it doesn't bother me at all. I wish I had that testimony. I really do. I've got the opposite testimony. I know God is my healer because he's had to heal me. I know him as my resurrector because he's had to resurrect me. I know him as my best friend because he's never left me. He's never forsaken me. I know he is my life because I would have no life if he did not give me life. I know him as a restorer. Amen. So I've had to walk this road. But I can tell you this. The devil can't knock you down far enough that God can't raise you back up. Hallelujah. Infection just tried to kill me. And then the next day, the hospital tried to kill me. But I got up. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And this body is nothing but a vehicle to carry the Holy Ghost. And if God wants this body to carry the Holy Ghost, he's going to make it get up, and I'm going to carry the Holy Spirit until the day he's done. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. If Sister Betty hadn't realized something was wrong, they OD'd me the day after surgery in the hospital. I was OD'ing. Too much medication, too many drugs. Sister Betty realized something was wrong, ran out and got the nurse. The nurse come in, couldn't get no response out of me. I was just laying there staring at the ceiling. I was catatonic. I was gone. I didn't even have any connection to my body. I felt like I was trapped inside of a cocoon and I couldn't get out. And the nurse punched some button, and next thing you know, 14, 15 people converged on that little hospital room and started trying to bring me back out of it. Doctors, neurologists, nurses. Thought I'd had a stroke. They didn't know what happened to me. And then they finally surmised that I had OD'd. Because they started talking about Narcan in me like a heroin addict that OD'd. And thankfully, they didn't have to do that. I began to respond after a while. But you never know. I said that to say this. It doesn't matter what this life tries to throw at you. If you know that you're submitted to God, if your life is on the altar, if you know who your resurrector is, if you know who your life is, then if he wants you back up, you're going to get back up. Come on. I've got to get to this. Praise God. Be patient with me. This is the only message I get to preach in about a month. This made infanticide rabid in the ancient world. The presence of fetal and newborn skeletons in mass graves give archaeologists an indication that what they've excavated could very well be a brothel. They would just simply kill the children when they were born. Can you imagine carrying a child 9 months, giving birth to it, and then just killing it and throwing it in a mass grave? Well, this country can. Due to the lack of contraception and the adult who was, unlike children, of course, a full person, and therefore within their rights to do as they pleased. The concept of intrinsic human value, that you have dignity, worth, and purpose by nature of simply being human, is foreign to the vast majority of human history. It has only recently been broadly accepted, and due to the Judeo-Christian ethic, that the value of the human being, no matter what size, stage, situation, race, gender, etc., came into fruition as a social norm. Did you hear what I said? It was the teachings of Jesus that changed this and came against these ancient demonic spirits and began to change culture. We have value today because of Jesus. We value life today because of Jesus. We value women today because of Jesus. We value children today because of Jesus. He changed the power of these demonic ancient spirits that feed on the destruction and blood of human beings. I mean, look at the Romans. Their greatest excitement was watching people kill each other. You say, well, that could never happen in America. We are almost there. I'm seeing a lot of very relevant conversations that both sadden me and worry me about the state of how we view human worth, dignity, and value. Concepts which only have a leg to stand on via historical biblical grounding. As a historian, I spend a lot of my time reading the writings of ancient pagans and sometimes their arguments justifying their dehumanization and sacrifices, literally sacrifice in many cases, don't sound nearly as ancient as they ought to be. The ancients had no qualms with child sacrifice because they had utterly dehumanized babies. Another reminder that social assumptions do not equate truth, morality, or justice. That was a paper written by a man by the name of Wes Huff. The dividing line, as Brother Tom said earlier, the dividing line in culture and in humanity happened when Jesus walked this earth and gave himself. And the teaching on the Mount is a teaching on the value of humanity. When God called Abraham out, it was the beginning of a cultural change in antiquity. And then when the law of Moses came, it was an absolute affront, attack against these ancient demon powers. That's why they worked so hard to get Israel to change into idol worship. That's why the church constantly struggles to maintain its purity, because these demon spirits, these treasonous spirits, try to infiltrate the authority of everything that God's doing to try to change our humanization, try to change our values back to where we use people instead of value people. We're living in an age where that type of treason has been rampant in the body of Christ. When I was over in Africa, I'm not preaching this anything like what I meant to. When I was over in Africa, Brother Augustine, our bishop over there, I said, Bishop, I said, what are some of the struggles you're facing? What are some of the problems you're facing here in Rwanda? I expected him to talk about poverty. I expected him to talk about, you know, the challenges of witchcraft, because that's one of the great powers there. I expected him to tell me a lot of things. He said, oh, Pastor, he said, our greatest challenge in the church today is the prosperity doctrine that is invading our churches. I said, what do you mean prosperity doctrine? He said, preachers have learned how to use the people, how to work them up to get money out of them. He said, they come up with constant gimmicks of how to make money off the people. He said, they convince them that they have holy water, and that if they'll pay so much for this holy water, they can drink it and it'll be healed. He said some of them have a chair that they sit in, this chair, and then they tell them that it's anointed, and if they'll give so much, they can sit in the chair and they will be blessed if they sit in the chair. He went on and on talking about it, and he said people get really worked up and they get excited because they're going to get rich, because they're going to be blessed if they give. And he said, but disappointment has begun to eat away at the church because it's not happening. I told him, I said, well, we've battled that for several years in America. Hey, man, I realize I'm stepping on some pet doctrines here, but it's time we repent of serving mammon and get back to serving God. God will meet our needs. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He will bless us. He'll bless our socks off. But we got to get back to the place where money is the least of everything in the body of Christ, and Jesus is absolutely everything. Amen. There's a lot of this stuff that's going to be confronted by God in the days ahead. And all I can say is, God, I want to get away from that stuff. I want to get at the foot of the cross. And I want to stay at the foot of the cross. Amen. The exploitation of people is done, because God has become offended. The exploitation of children is done because God has become offended. He has decided that it's time for him to step in. Come on, somebody. And those that love him, those that are dedicated to him, are going to begin to reap the reward of your sacrifice and your faithfulness. God will bless us. God will help us. But it's not to build our kingdoms. It is to build his kingdom. It is to see the lost saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Casey, it won't be long, and you're going to be wondering what to do with all these people. Come on. They're going to start running to try to find somebody that has the truth. They're going to run back to churches that are preaching the true gospel because they are dissatisfied, and we have found out that this stuff does not work. But what does work is giving yourself totally to God and being faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. I got to tell you something. If we'll be faithful, God will transfer everything we need right into our hands. Amen. If we'll prove ourselves faithful, God will build whatever we need to build. God will provide whatever. Come on, somebody. I realize I'm battling some demon spirits today, and I've been battling them for several years. And they have tried to take me out over and over and over. But I gotta tell you something. They might be ancient and they might think they have control, but I serve the resurrected Savior Jesus Christ that has taken authority away from them. All authority has been given to him in heaven and earth and under the earth. And that's who we serve. Let them rant and rave. Let them scream and cry. It's not the church's job to console people. It's not the church's job to try to make people feel comfortable in their sin. It's not the church's job to try to get them to fill a pew. It's our job to cast the devils out of them, to preach the gospel, and if they believe, they will be saved. But if they believe not, they will be condemned. I was praying about that this week. I said, God, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to reach the world. We're supposed to evangelize and reach the world. He said, you need to read it again. Jesus said, preach the gospel, and they that believe will be saved. And they that believe not will be condemned. He said, you need to quit worrying about those that believe not and start putting all your effort into those that believe. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I realize this is not popular preaching, but popular preaching is condolence and operation of these ancient demon spirits that has infiltrated the church and has contaminated our gospel to the point that people don't change when they get saved. They pray a prayer, but nothing happens. Why? Because it's a consent that God can bless their life now. But it is not a sacrifice of who I am. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You knock me down, you're not going to get a polite little sermon. Amen. I come back fighting, and I'm ready. Come on, somebody. Praise God. I'm not going to get to all this. I want you to jump to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 if you can, guys. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm fine. My nurse is over there worrying about me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible. But relative to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and our gathering together to meet him, we beg you, brethren, not to allow your minds to be quickly unsettled or disturbed or kept excited or alarmed. Is that not a plague today? people stay so worked up and excited. Turn the news off. Stop watching. You don't have to watch the January 6th hearings. Hey, let me sum it all up for you. It's all fake. So don't listen to what they're saying. Okay? It's all manipulation. Amen. I did hear a little bit about how President Trump supposedly jumped for the wheel and tried to strangle. Hey, anybody knows how them limousines are made knows that that, I mean, what can he do now? Can he walk through walls? I just had to say that. The phoniness is so alarming, but I am not going to be alarmed. Whether it be by some pretended revelation of the Spirit, or by word or by letter alleged to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has already arrived and is here. They had hackers back in that day. That amazes me. They had spam and hackers. They were hacking Paul's Facebook account and trying to say that it was from Paul. We think we're the only ones that ever dealt with this. Let no one deceive or beguile you in any way. For that day will not come except apostasy comes first, unless the predicted great falling away of those who profess to be Christians has come. Folks, we are living in that day. Amen. I heard a report the other day that the majority of evangelicals now have a left-wing worldview instead of a biblical worldview. You see, falling away doesn't mean that they've left the churches. It just means the churches has left God. If the majority of evangelicals could have a liberal left-wing worldview, somebody hasn't been preaching the gospel. Because if you preach the gospel, they don't want to come to your church. Amen. The people that are hungry do. I'm going to get through this. And the man of lawlessness, sin, is revealed, who is the son of doom, of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself so proudly and insolently against and over all that is called God, and that is worshipped, even to his actually taking his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming that he himself is God. Do you not recollect that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining him. This is the part I was wanting to get to. And now you know what is restraining him from being revealed at this time. It is so that he may be manifested, revealed in his own appointed time. You remember what the word said? That these spirits have reached their hand out against God's kings and priests in a time not appointed. There is an appointed time. But what Holy Spirit is saying is that these demonic entities have overreached and moved in a time that was not appointed for them. Why? Because his ecclesia, his church, his body is still in authority in the earth. What's restraining him? We are. We are a thorn in their side. We are an aggravation to them. We are the stress that they deal with. For the mystery of lawlessness, that hidden principle of rebellion against constituted authority. Have you ever seen a time where there was so much rebellion against constitutions and against law? Is already at work in the world, but it is restrained only until he who restrains is taken out of the way. I looked into this, and the meaning of this can be a person or a group of people that is restraining him. We are restraining him. All the prayer meetings are restraining him. All the worship to God is restraining him. The true preaching of the gospel is restraining him. And he will be restrained until that authority has been taken out of the way. Jesus has not relinquished the authority of his church. And these demonic entities have moved against his authority. And he said, because you've done this, now I will empower my kings and priests to rise against you. And those that you trust in and those that are your strength will begin to crumble and fall. God gave me that word yesterday. Many of the same things were spoken by Kent Christmas. Now, the only reason I played that, I don't have a lot of confidence in a lot of people. I usually wait and test the words. You know what I'm talking about? I don't have confidence in me. If I get a word, I send it out to several people I know hear from God and wait for their response. But when I heard this just yesterday, there were so many things that rang true in my spirit. I thought, we have got to declare this. We've got to let him declare this. Any man that can go through the death of his son, who is a pastor in his church, and still be full of the fire of God and still proclaim what the word of the Lord says, he's got my ear. He stood strong. He didn't bow. And so he's got my ear. I want to hear what he's got to say. I'm not promoting him. I'm just saying. We need to pay attention, because there are words being declared. Now, there's some words that I hear that are so sugar-coated and so poised for offerings. You take the money away and they would stop prophesying. I'm just being real. Amen. I've been around them. I've been in this thing for 40-some years. I know how this thing works. If you want to know you're really called to preach, you'll preach when you have to pay to preach. Amen. Come on, somebody. I had somebody call me here a while back wanting to know about ministry in India. They'd been called. Actually, Dr. Benjamin had contacted him, invited him to come to do their January meeting that I did for years. And pastor's conference and big meetings. And I was telling him, yeah, telling him about it. He was asked if they're legitimate. I said, oh, yeah, they're legitimate. He said, well, what kind of offerings do they give? How much do they pay you for coming? I said, I think you're confused. I said, this is India. This isn't America. This is India. I said, they don't pay you a dime. I said, matter of fact, you pay for everything. I said, you pay transportation to bring hundreds of pastors to the conference. You pay for the food to feed them while they're there. You take care of them while they're there. You pay the expenses of the crusades, the night crusades. You pay for the rent. You give the money to bribe the officials so they don't kill you. You bribe the police officers so they don't arrest you. I said, you pay to go preach in India. I said, it costs thousands and thousands of dollars. And I said, besides your airfare and your own expenses. He said, well, that's not my budget. Now, I got to tell you, this was a man that preached prosperity all the time. I said, did God tell you to go? He said, well, I'm not sure. I said, well, don't go. I said, if you don't know God told you to go, stay home. But I said, if God told you to go, your budget doesn't matter. You go. And I said, I've heard you preach about God meeting your needs supernaturally, and now you're telling me your budget isn't going to allow you to go. I said, you need to decide what you believe. I said, if God tells you to go, you start going, you get your airplane tickets, and you head that direction. Amen. That's why I got so many friends. I said, if God hadn't sent you, then stop trying to go. Amen. He said, well, thank you for your advice, and hung up. Amen. As far as I know, he has never went to India. Why? Because we have forgot that we belong to God. Everything we do is about God. Everything we do is for Him. We are under Him. We are under His authority. If He tells us to turn right, we turn right. If He tells us to go straight, we go straight. If He tells us to do something, we set ourselves to do it, and He takes care of it. Amen. Why am I preaching so mean today? Come on, somebody. We are restraining, and we are going to become more obvious as the days go by, as the weeks go by. The attacks are going to increase. The scrutiny is going to increase. The criticism is going to increase. They're going to start pointing their finger at us more and more and more, saying we've got to get rid of these people. They're going to try to dehumanize us. But we have a living, resurrected Savior that has not abdicated the throne, will not abdicate the throne, and His authority will be in place until He decides to remove it. And when He removes it, we're going with it. Come on, somebody. When He removes His authority, that means the rest of us have to depart. Amen. Practicing my leaving pose. We are standing. In a time of history being made, this is a pivotal time in the history of humanity. And I heard Brother Christmas say some things that really rang with my spirit about this end-time finisher's anointing. God is anointing his people. And he's going to clothe us in the power we need to get the job done. Amen. Hallelujah. You're not going to understand everything that happens. We don't need to. We're going to have questions. I don't understand things now. There is a part of life and a part of God that is such a mystery that we can never figure it out. I had a friend that was a pastor in Lamar, Missouri, 58 years old, went in the hospital the same time I did. Didn't know anything was wrong with him until he started having some problems and went in the hospital for some tests. We had his funeral last Wednesday. He lasted 4 weeks from the time he went to see what was wrong with him. And he went home. Good man. Faithful man. Man that loved people, loved God. We prayed earnestly for his that God would raise him up. But he left in 4 weeks. Time he went to get tests run, they found out he had stage 4 cancer, liver cancer, and it had spread all through his body. And they just sent him home on hospice, saying there's nothing we can do for you. And it wasn't just a little bit. He left this earth and entered into heaven. I don't understand all that. I don't understand why he went home and I'm still here. You know what I'm talking about? We don't understand this stuff. And when we spend all of our time trying to get God to answer to our not understanding, we waste our time. When we get so bogged down questioning God about everything that happens, we become offended in our spirits, we close down and we stop functioning, and then we end up being taken over by these ancient spirits that feed into that. They know. They've been around for thousands of years. They know humanity. They know how to trick you. They know how to manipulate you. They know how to sit you up. They haven't changed their tactics in thousands of years, and it still works. The only difference is when the Holy Spirit is in your life and he's giving you discernment and counsel, and the Word of God is alive and active inside of you. That's what makes the difference, and that's what separates us, and that's what delivers us from the powers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, is the power of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit giving us direction. Without that, we are no match for these demonic ancient spirits, because they know humanity and they know how to manipulate us. But we have an antidote. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And this antidote is going to spread. As Brother Christmas said, I believe that there is a major harvest going to take place around this world. Not only in the U.S., but around the world. It's happening. Reinhard Bonnke set the stage for it. Billy Graham set the stage for it. We saw what happened when the massive crowds would show up to hear the gospel. Millions of people packed in places, standing to hear the gospel. We saw the beginning of what God's going to do. And now Franklin Graham is seeing many of the same things happen. Daniel Kalinda, you rarely see somebody take the anointing of somebody and continue it. Reinhard Bonnke raised up this young man called Daniel Kalinda. And now he is going on with the ministry of Reinhard Bonnke and having the same results. There's a mantle that got passed successfully, and that is what God's doing today. And the mantles that are unoccupied right now are about to be settled onto the shoulders of humanity again. Hallelujah. Praise God. I got weeks of thinking, praying, and studying done in just a little bit of time here. You don't understand the miracle that just took place. Stand with me. We have a job to do. And obviously, as I've been telling God lately, obviously I'm not done. Amen. Hallelujah. I told him last night, sitting on the back porch, waiting for it to rain, hoping it would rain. I sit out there and I said, God, you've put breath back in my body. Use that breath for your purpose. You put strength back in me. Use that strength. Amen. Because we got a purpose and we've got somewhere to go. I sit out there singing an old song I used to remember. I don't regret a mile I've traveled for the Lord. I don't regret a time I've trusted in His Word. The years go swiftly by, and there's some days without a song. But I don't regret a mile that I've traveled for the Lord. You know why? Because we're here at this point, at this time. The anointing is on us. The power of God is present. And we will accomplish the things that God has purposed for us to accomplish. Amen. There are people that are about to be born again that never even thought about being born again. There's miracles going to take place. Resurrections are going to happen. God is going to display His glory through His people. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. Thank you, God, for, Lord, you've assembled people in this house right here for a purpose and a reason. Now, Father, I pray the activation of that purpose and that reason. Father, I thank you that we come into our places. We become fully fitted in the mantles that you have given us. And we begin to display who you are in this region. And God, I praise you for that today in Jesus' name.